Thank you, Dante.
Mayor Hale, could I speak about the homeless?
Not now. You've got to stay on the agenda. Got to stay on the agenda. Sorry. So we're going to move to item 286 next. Well, I guess we could take the consent item first, please.
There's another time certain.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm blowing past the other time certain. Don't let me do that. Thank you. 280.
Item 280, public hearing to consider a new taxi company permit for EcoCab Portland LLC.
Sorry about that. Fortunately, my colleagues kept me straight.
Takes a village.
Takes a village indeed.
Did you make a presentation to like the state zoning?
No, it's actually an international organization, the Software Council, and the proposal is to build an 11-story building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard about that concept. Cool.
Yeah, I think we're going to get.
Commissioner Novick, would you like to introduce this item?
Actually, Mayor, I think this is a quasi-judicial proceeding that is uniquely your role to
take sorry. off. You're right. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding because we're considering an application. So I will simply turn it over to staff unless there are any instructions from our city attorney or any declarations of conflict of interest or ex parte contacts among council members.
On ex parte ex mayor, I ran into Len Bergstein in the hall the other day, and he mentioned that he was representing EcoCab, which I wasn't aware of, although we did not have a substantive discussion. I guess that counts as an ex parte contact.
Okay. Anyone have any concerns about that ex parte contact? Okay, hearing none, then unless you have any other instructions for us, Ellen, then I'll turn it over to staff for presentation. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. My name is Michael Jacobs. I am a division manager in the Bureau of Transportation. With me this morning is Kelly Sills, who is here as the Private for Hire Transportation Board of Review Chair, and also Frank DeFay, who is here as the Private for Hire Transportation Program Manager. This morning, staff is going to be very brief so that you can have more time to talk with the applicant, EcoCab Portland LLC. I'd like to start this morning by presenting some basic private for hire transportation demand metrics that you can consider as you make a decision. The first slide shows the annual PDX airline passengers trend from 2000 to 2014. As you can see, the chart indicates a 4.3% annual growth rate through the years 2000 through 2014. Actually, more specifically, from 2009 to 2014. The second slide shows the annual visitor room demand from 2000 to 2014. And as you can see on this slide, from 2009 to 2014, we've seen an annual growth rate of approximately 6.5%. The third slide shows how many taxi vehicle permits have been issued by the City of Portland since 2000. As you can see, until this year, the only addition to the supply allowed by the city was in 2013, when an additional 78 permits were added, increasing the number of taxi vehicle permits from 382 to 460. The fourth slide shows the number of taxi companies that are currently permitted by the City of Portland, and the number of current vehicles permitted to each company. And by the way, this particular slide does include 10 new permits that were very recently added as a result of board action in February. The final slide shows a comparison of Portland to other cities with regard to the number of taxis per 10,000 residents in the city. As you can see in yellow, the City of Portland currently has approximately 7.5 taxis per 10,000 residents, and you can see that this is significantly lower than the sample average of 17.2, which you'll see in blue, 17.2 vehicles per 10,000 residents. And the average that I'm talking about is the average of the cities in the comparison. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Kelly Sills to present the staff and board recommendation reports.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. So as Michael said, my name is Kelly Sills. I'm the parking control manager for the city. I'm also now the chair of the Private for Hire Transportation Board. And I'll have some elements of formality in my comments just to make sure we get a few things right into the record that are necessary this morning. What you have before you is an application from EcoCab. It's for a new taxi cab company permit. It was originally received by the city on October 31st, 2014. It is for an initial 15 taxi cabs, 12 of which would be all electric, 3 would be ADA compliant, and with the ability to grow to eventually 51 taxi cabs. The application includes a report by the economic analysis firm Eco Northwest, which was quite helpful actually for the administrator to develop his staff report and recommendation to the board. That being Frank DeFay to my left here, or right. And I would submit the administrator's report as part of this hearing for the record. The administrator's report is based on the application review requirements of 16.40.160D of City Code and generally focuses on pertinent market conditions and the demonstrated need for additional taxi service in Portland. It concluded with the recommendation to approve the application by EcoCab. So the Private for Hire Transportation Board met on February 11th to consider the application by EcoCab and voted unanimously to support that application, forward it to your council with that recommendation. EcoCab's application is now before you in a de novo public hearing, meaning, in essence, that what you've received so far are advisory and it's up to you to make the decision. That's in accordance with Section 16.40160 of City Code. Upon your review, the code requires that the council direct PBOT to issue a taxicab company permit to the applicant if it finds, one, the interest of the city will be served thereby, and two, that the applicant has sufficient financial resources to be able to meet the minimum standards established by Section 16.40.270 of City Code. Now, that section of code establishes, in essence, minimum standards by which all taxi cab companies in the city have to serve the residents. It includes that. By those minimum standards, it's things like 24-hour dispatch service, 24/7 everyday service throughout the city, that kind of thing. So what we're recommending from the board is that council approve EcoCab's new taxicab company permit application, subject to the condition that the administrator determine that EcoCab evidences sufficient financial resources to meet the minimum standards under which a taxicab company must comply. In other words, that Section 270 that I was speaking of. As in the past, the administrator does have the ability to utilize the services of the Revenue Bureau to make that determination. And as Michael indicated, we're going to try to keep this brief, so that concludes our presentation. And we're certainly open to any questions you may have.
Can I just clarify something? Because we haven't had a lot of these hearings during my tenure. And so as a matter of city code, all recommendations of the Private for Hire Board come to council for approval?
When it's a new taxi cab company application, when they submit their recommendation to the council, it is in essence an advisory recommendation, and you conduct a new public hearing, a de novo public hearing.
And that's for new licenses. That's for...
Correct.
Commissioner, I think it's for new companies. For existing companies, the board itself can add additional permits.
I see. So we rule on the question of whether a new party can get into the marketplace, and then you have the authority to regulate their numbers going forward. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I don't... Frank, when's the last time we had a hearing like this?
In 2012... was when the initial recommendation came to council. It was appealed, and the permits were issued in 2013. That was for Union Cab.
Union Cab.
Yep.
So that's the last one I remember. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Frank, anything else to add?
Actually, Mr. Sills, I think we need to make a move an amendment to the board report because on paragraph 2, it said, following deliberation, the board voted to recommend approval of EcoCab's new taxi company permit application for up to 51 vehicles by vote of 9 ayes, 2 noes, and 1 abstention. Actually, that applied to the expansion of the number of permits for existing companies. So I have an amendment here clarifying that it was actually a unanimous vote on the EcoCab.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Commissioner Novick moves and Commissioner
Fisher seconds.
Mayor,
I have one other question.
Amendment.
On the one piece of information that we don't have before us, and it may or may not be relevant, is are there other companies that have made similar requests that are pending where at some point we have to consider the cumulative impact, or does the law require us to look at each of these on their individual merits?
So, yes, there are 4 other applications that are before the board. They'll be meeting on March 25th to go over, in all likelihood, 3 of those applications. It doesn't look like the 4th one is quite ready yet. And with each of the applications, it's a requirement in the administrator staff recommendation report to the board that they take into account market conditions and determine the need for new taxicab service in the city. So as new companies are added, then that would become part of that evaluation by the administrator.
So it is possible that a applicant who's at the end of the queue at some point may come to council, assuming it comes to council, and the answer would be no because the market's saturated?
As with any business consideration, if you're encountering market saturation, then you would have to, as a business, you would make the determination whether you were viable in that market. And as a taxi cab or a private for hire transportation board, that recommendation would also be within that context of whether we're at market saturation.
And I'm just curious because this is a chance to educate us about what you do. How do you resolve the question of, if, let's say there's 4 or 5 companies that have submitted applications, how do you do the sort of ranking process, or is it just first in line?
You know, the code really doesn't contemplate ranking in that sense, so I don't think that would be an objectively fair way to treat those applicants to try to do that at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions for staff?
So I was
going to hear from the applicant.
Yes.
Oh.
I was struck by the new policy of treating these taxi drivers as employees rather than as contractors, and I was initially concerned about the rate of pay of $10 an hour for 40 hours plus commission, which the report says will get to about $11.71. And given our discussion on the $15 an hour, it didn't seem to me that that was in keeping with our goals for payment. But then my staff looked up and found a 2012 Office of Management and Finance report that said the average hourly income for taxi cabs after paying the kitty is $6.22. Is that still about the average wage of a taxi driver in Portland?
Frank DeFay, we don't really have good data on that, Commissioner. We have anecdotal evidence. The $10 an hour is probably pretty good pay for that profession right now.
And do we know how much Uber and Lyft drivers are making?
We don't have that information, no.
Okay. So that's of concern, Commissioners. In our next conversation coming back in April, as far as the transportation network companies, it's going to be, obviously, I'm pleased that we have this proposal that's paying more than was being paid 2 years ago, but still, it's obviously a very challenging profession for people to make a living wage on.
Commissioner, I just wanted to share that I went to visit Brad Avakian the other week and asked him about the prospects for having taxicab drivers reclassified as employees. They're generally treated as independent contractors, and he and Christine Hammond from Wage and Hour sort of walked me through the law, and it sounded like under state law, we'd have to change the law. It'd be a significant departure for them in other than when the company is treating them as employees, for the taxi cab drivers to be reclassified as employees. But that's something I want to continue to explore.
Yes. The other thing my staff found out is that state law exempts taxi cab drivers from overtime laws when they are employees. So I appreciate the companies proposing to limit hours to 40 hours a week just for safety considerations. If the employees would not get time and a half from the $10 an hour if they work more than 40 hours. And so it's obviously a very complex system. I just wanted to highlight for public awareness that taxi cab drivers don't make very much money.
Good point.
So I just noticed you have a interesting standard of service in there that if I think it was like if 65% of a fleet is found at Portland Airport in a one-hour interval, that's deemed not serving the city. Did I get that right?
That's correct, Commissioner. We don't want the taxis to just be sitting in the backfield.
Right. So does the port help us to monitor that?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you very much. We may have more at the end, but let's call up the applicant, please, to make their presentation of evidence. Come on up.
Mayor Hales, while they're getting ready, you might want to accept the amended board report and the other report as exhibits.
Okay, and we have the amendment in front of us, so we could go ahead and vote to accept the report as amended.
Yes.
Roll call on that, please.
Aye. Fish?
Aye.
Felfman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
Mayor, can I just ask a clarifying question? Because, again, this is a somewhat novel procedure for us. Is there a party here today that opposes this application?
Well, we'll take public testimony after we hear from the applicant.
I understand, but is there a formal party that's intervened and opposed this? Because in our land use hearing...
Yes, I understand that. I don't see that there's a formal party on
Mr.
the record.
Mr. Novick, did a party intervene below and oppose this?
I think not.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So it's up to individuals to make their case if they like this application or if they don't like it after the applicant gets a chance to make their case. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. My name is Len Bergstein, and my office is located at 805 Southwest Broadway, Suite 2290. I'm pleased to appear today with Ron Canori, who's the founder and owner of EcoCab. You'll hear from Ron momentarily to describe the unique promise he brings for high-quality taxicab service, a frictionless user experience based on his strong environmental values and unique business model. And you'll hear from Mike Wilkerson from EcoNorthwest, the premier economics and market research firm in our region. You already heard a commercial for them previously, so I'll leave the commercial out about them. They're really quite good. We're here today with strong guidance and support from Frank Dufay and his staff, and the unanimous vote, as you heard, from the private for hire board of peers that's recommended approval of 51 permits for EcoCab. EcoCab is a set of values and a business model that will meet and serve the demand for additional taxicab services in our community. It mirrors the leadership this council has provided on environmental and workforce issues and will help you achieve your goals. So I'd like you to hear from Ron and about his company and why he's bringing this to Portland, Oregon.
Great. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Ron Canori, and I'm the owner and founder of EcoCab. And I just wanted to come and say hi and let you know that I have a strong commitment to a zero-emission fleet, and that's what we're going to bring to Portland. That's what we're proposing. And when we started this business, when I started 3 years ago in Longview, one thing that it really took off and it was really well welcomed in Longview. And I feel that Portland, and I know that Portland shares the same values for environmental responsibility. And you know, EcoCab's an all-electric fleet with 12, we'll start off with 12 fully electric vehicles and 3 ADA compliant vans. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have one question, sir. In your excellent presentation, your written presentation, it says that if approved, you'll hire a general manager with extensive taxi experience in the Portland, Oregon area. Tell us the how you'll go about identifying that person and what you're looking for?
That's a great question. The first thing that I want to do is make sure that the applicants have the same, how do I say it, the same values environmentally, and someone who's strong with experience in the taxi industry in Portland. How do I find that person? I'm going to put out an advertisement, and I've actually already gotten quite a few responses, not just from Portland either, from all over the country that have wanted to actually come. They have extensive knowledge of the taxi business, and they would be willing to move to Portland for this. So I will start that search just as soon as we get approval from you fine people.
If I may, Mr. Mayor and Commissioner Fish, I think the most important thing on Ron's mind will be the questions that Commissioner Fritz has mentioned, and that is how to run an employee-based company. We'll be looking for someone who has that kind of set of values, responsibility, understands what is expected in Portland in terms of worker relationships, and I think it'll be someone that that we'll have to work closely with Ron on those particular issues.
Just one other question. I've never actually had the experience of being in a cab that ran out of gas, but I know that one of the challenges with electric vehicles is the duration of the battery. So how do you balance that in terms of your business model to make sure there's enough juice to run your cars, and what does happen if the car is about the end of its useful life and you got to recharge?
At our facility, we'll have fast chargeability. The cars will come in and charge up rather quickly and be out the door again for use. So all of our Nissan Leafs have DC fast chargeability. And
what is fast charge these days?
About 20 minutes for about an 80% charge, and then it gets put on a 240 volt to top it off.
And what's the battery life? What's the useful life of that charge?
About 85 miles on a Nissan Leaf, and the majority of our fleet eventually will be all Tesla Model S sedans, and those have a 270 mile range.
Hmm. Have you ever stranded?
I have never stranded anyone in 3 years. The cars are they tell you exactly how many miles are left on the charge, and our shop is conveniently located just about 3 miles from downtown. So, and plus, in addition to that, if we ever do run into problems, Portland has a very large electric car charging infrastructure already set up. They've got 18 conveniently located DC fast charge stations. So if we ever did run into an issue where someone was closer to a fast charge station than we were our shop, they would just charge there and take a break.
That's great.
So where is your facility located?
3250 Northwest Yonge.
Okay.
Great. Other questions? You have a presentation as well?
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. Certainly we've seen some of the similar findings, so I'll get through this quickly, and if you have any questions, be happy to answer them. As part of the private for hire transportation application process for EcoCab, Echo Northwest was asked to conduct a market study analyzing the current taxi market in the city of Portland. The following is a brief overview of the findings. Where we started was by replicating the measures identified in the 2009 PFHT demand study. We also analyzed the raw data from the 3Q Global Mystery Shopper Study, which EchoCab retained. Our full report is contained in the proposal, Exhibit 1, pages 7 through 14 for further reference. Based on 2013 data, for the 11 comparable cities identified in the 2009 report, Portland would have the second lowest number. And you can see here there's an expansion of the cities. But certainly in the report of the 11 cities, Portland was the second lowest with approximately 7.5 cabs per 10,000 residents, which was less than half of that of the median city in the sample. The median city in the sample was Cincinnati, which had a total of 17.6 cabs per 10,000 residents. So if Portland were to have the same ratio as Cincinnati, That would equate to 1,075 cabs, which would be an increase of 617 licenses over the current level. Other demand indicators identified in the 2009 report included total employment in the city, airport boardings, which you've seen, total visitors, which you've also seen, and as well as convention center visitors. All of these indicators have increased significantly since the last demand study, coinciding with our economic recovery. Another stated factor for the Revenue Bureau to consider when making a recommendation is the current status of the public transportation system. TriMet's level of service in terms of total ridership peaked in 2012 and has decreased subsequently over the last 2 years. During this period, of course, we've seen an increase in total population and employment. However, ridership dropped in 2014 to levels not seen since 2007. Ultimately, however, the most important indicator of an adequate supply is responsiveness. Based on the 3Q Global Mystery Shopper study, we found that 22% of all of the calls they placed resulted in no response, so the phone rang indefinitely, or that when there was a response, no cabs were available, and that's 22% of the time. During peak hours, the wait time for a cab of under 10 minutes was only available one-third of the time, and wait times of in excess of 30 minutes were 7% of the time. Finally, I think the most telling detail is for 16% of all calls during peak hours, cabs did not show up for scheduled pickups. And that's a major concern, I believe, on a host of fronts. I'm happy to field any additional questions, and I'll turn it over to Len for some concluding remarks.
I have one. It's not relevant to whether we approve the application or not, but obviously you understand that we're in a discussion about transportation network companies entering the marketplace. Obviously, that hasn't dissuaded you from making application. Any thoughts about how the viability of your application might be affected by the arrival of transportation network companies operating legally in Portland?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, let me start that off, and then I know Ron has thought a lot about this as a business person. My first reaction is that we're no doubt that Uber and Lyft are highly resourced competitors, and they have a reputation for being disruptors in the economy. So that's, but we're not afraid of the competition, and as a matter of fact, we're enthusiastic about the competition because we have several advantages, we believe. Number one, we have zero emission vehicles. Those will be an attraction to Portland, and they will drive kind of our demand. Number two, customer will know what kind of ride they'll be getting when they kind of call for Ron and his service. No question about the kind of car that will be showing up or the vehicle that will be showing up. Number three, we will have an app that is comparable to the kind of app that Uber uses. Ron is in the process of developing that right now, and so there will be a frictionless experience for the customer that will rival anything that they would get from any of the other network companies. And number three, there will be transparent pricing. There will be no surge pricing in from our company, and so that the customer in Portland will know that they're getting a fair deal, transparent deal. They'll know what they're doing before they get into the cab. That will be kind of ultimately our competitive advantage. Do you have anything to add, Ron?
Unless the council has any more questions, I think that Lim said it really well.
Let me take the mayor's question and flip it around slightly differently, which is, my understanding is that some of these potential competitors only take payment off of smartphones and credit cards. And that seems to me to be problematic for people that don't have a credit card or a smartphone. Do you have a sense, what's the relative mix that you would expect between sort of cash business versus credit card business?
It's about 50-50.
50-50.
Mm. So Uber and Lyft will essentially alienate 50% of their total customers that will totally come. So
yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
They're good guys. We don't, yeah, if they're watching. No offense.
Earnest competitors.
$40 billion company.
Yep. Exactly. We're going to get out of their way just a little bit.
I appreciate having a phone that has all this capacity, although my daughter does mention that me having an iPhone is like someone buying a car to be able to use the radio. So I get that it has things, bells and whistles, that I haven't even figured out. It does bother me a little bit that you'd have to have an expensive phone or a debit card or credit card to use a public service. I think that gives me pause. But anyway, thank you.
So any other questions for Mr. Norrie, Mr. Wilkerson, or Mr. Bergstein, or all three of them? Great presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your attention.
Okay, we'll see who else has signed up to speak on this item.
Amy Anderson, Darren Campbell, and Lightning. Come up,
come
please.
Come on up, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. As many of you know, I'm an avid advocate in this community for people who are low income, medically underserved. And in my work recently with the Transportation Advisory Committee that was formed for Rideshare, which is the new non-medical emergency transportation system, I have learned a great deal about our transportation system in Portland. And what I realized was when you add, what is it, about 350,000 people to a community of three counties, Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah County, you're talking about numbers that people have never seen before in this city that are potentially eligible for rides using non-emergency medical. The difficulty we have is, the way I've understood it in the past was, it was separated between the taxi cab companies and the non-medical transportation companies, and it was kind of everybody got a little bit of everything. What I've come to realize is the major burden has been placed on the taxi cabs. The last report I got on the committee, there was over, in 1 month's time, they took over 100,000 calls in the month of January, and about 38% of that was taxi cab usage. So given the fact that we have all these people going from Gresham to Hillsborough using non-emergency medical transportation, I, on a Friday afternoon, got left in Hillsborough without a ride back because even though HealthShare has a contract with Green Cab, they said, we don't have enough drivers to get you to pick you up after your meeting at 6 p.m. on a Friday in Hillsborough. So there are many times where I've waited an hour or more for somebody to come pick me up to take me to a meeting that the county was paying for. It's under contract. So we have lots of contracts that I use taxi cab service for, and the more people we're adding to our Medicaid rolls, the faster the service is depleting in its, shall we say, the way quality. Quality is changing in our community as far as transportation goes. And the other thing is, Commissioner Fritz, you're right about the payroll. I've been asking all the drivers of Green Cab, how much have you made, how much are you losing, how much is it costing you to do this non-emergency medical piece? And with a kitty every month of close to $2,100 they have to come up with first, I would venture to say it's hard to make $10 an hour when all your money is going to pay the kitty. And then you consider all the rides you take during the course of a day transporting people you don't get paid $3 a minute for. You're losing money all the time. And now I hear that the other non-emergency medical transportation companies are at risk of failing because of the loss in income due to this new contract. So I really think you guys need to be looking at this at a much larger picture and figure out who's transporting who, what, when, and where, and how much of it through the taxi cabs are being used by people that don't pay or don't have cash. And then when I do pay cash, it costs me to go from 39th and Division to downtown $14, one way. I doubt most people on low income can afford taxi cabs. So we're looking at people who have modest incomes to be able to afford taxi cab rides unless you're being used for non-emergency medical. So I think we need more companies in Portland. We need more dedicated companies to driving the non-emergency medical is what we really need. We need a targeted company to handle that load to free up the taxis from having to transport everybody clear across three counties. And so I just want to say, as you're thinking about what you're adding to the community, think about the big picture of all of this difficulty we have right now just navigating the population that has been added to the Medicaid rolls, not considering the population that's just using taxi service. So that's all I wanted to bring is I'm really heavily vested, and I really think the big picture is not being looked at from all angles. So just look at everything before you make your decisions about what you're going to do.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will talk to Health Chair about that.
And family care. It's good mind effect. Care. We're in it together. Okay.
Thank you. Please. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, my name is Darren Campbell, and in the spirit of the rules of this chamber, I am the registered lobbyist for Radio Cab. However, I'm not here in that capacity today. I'm also the elected taxi driver representative for the Portland Private Hire Transportation Board. I was one of the yes votes on the EcoCab presentation, and one of the things that struck me in regards to EcoCab was it was a different model altogether with employee drivers. It gives that company the ability to direct their resources to the peak demand times that has been plaguing the city. I would think that Mr. Dufay and the members of his office would tell you that most of their complaints come from those peak demand times, the Friday nights, the Saturday nights, the clubbing districts, and that would be a place that EcoCab could really make a difference. And at the same time, they have the ability to not take away from that 10 a.m. Tuesday morning taxi driver that's struggling to make ends meet, because that's not the busiest time of the week. It struck me as something that was very Portland that could work, and that would be one more piece in that our battle that we're dealing with in regards to the TNC companies coming to Portland. They're going to come. We know that. But an effective taxi industry is one that we need to work together on and have different pieces in place to be able to do that effectively. So.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. As Commissioner Fritz has stated, this is very complex. On the application at this time, I'd like to have it denied. My reason being is that I believe that Uber and Lyft should also be in the game at this time. They've been excluded. What you basically have is a statement out of this brochure here is currently Uber and Lyft are examples of companies that successfully utilize an online app in other markets. Although their business model has not yet found acceptance in Portland, EcoCab's app will function similarly. With that in mind, I don't think they should be approved until we have an understanding where Uber and Lyft are. Now, they consider themselves a private for hire, and as you know, Uber and Lyft might be termed dynamic ride-sharing apps. Now, a lot of people feel the difference on that might be a donation-type situation based upon a fare. I mean, there's a lot of discussion on what that actual term is, and I'd like to have that worked out more. Now, you've stated on the transportation network company that Uber and Lyft will fall under that category toward the private for hire regulations. So if they're supposed to use those type of regulations this time, then they should be in the discussion on possibly stepping into the market and not being denied. I mean, we're creating an exclusivity here that is leaving a lot of people out, which I think is not the proper thing to do. And another issue that I have also is that we have a lot of app companies getting ready to move into the market, Uber, Lyft, GoLoco, Ride Scout, Sidecar, Instant Cab, Pick-A-Pal, Avago, numerous apps that are sitting on the sidelines to wait to see what happens here. Again, when they enter this market, the market will saturate. I think it's a very risky proposition for this new company to step in at this time until they understand what's going to happen in this market 6 months to 12 months from now. We've monitored New York as far as on the medallion system, and as you know, they've tried to sell more medallions and no buyers are out there. They're watching very closely what Uber and Lyft are going to do on the overall market, and in my opinion, they're going to come in here and basically take a large control of it. And I don't think any of these cab companies are going to be able to do anything about it. And I want to watch this very close on the values of these cab companies on where they drop within the next 6 months to a year. And I want to try to put something in place that will protect their interest protect their values on the cab companies and watch this very close and try to step in and work with the other Uber, Lyft, and these other app companies to avoid that from happening. And don't create disruption. Have a shared economy. But do not take down the old-time cab companies in this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Charles Johnson. As a person with no physical impairments that keep me from using TriMet, sometimes it seems to me like we have too much cabs. So it was good to learn from people with mobility challenges, the situation that they're in. When we talk about regulating this industry, we also need to look at, as came out most from Commissioner Amanda Fritz's remarks, rewarding this industry when it does the right thing, or making sure that this industry rewards its drivers.
Charles,
I'm not, yes.
Charles, let me interrupt you. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding, so you have to tell us whether you're for it or against it.
I'm for it with the idea that y'all should look at the regulation of taxis so that companies that reward and return profits to their drivers are the ones that can expand their fleets. Ideally, I'm highly biased towards some type of co-op model, but we've heard that many of these taxi drivers are leading a very harsh hand-to-mouth existence. And when we look at the regulation of the taxi industry, if we add this business, we also need to go back and look at how the city regulates taxis so that the companies that treat their drivers best and are having the best economic impact, on our community are the ones that are able to expand their fleets and put more drivers into better quality of life positions. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice and the follow the mayor's direction. I would like to see you approve this. I was intrigued listening to the testimony that either all of the cabs or most of them are going to be electric. That's kind of cool. And I often sit here listening to the testimony week after week, not as somebody that knows everything, but somebody who is listening on TV and trying to understand what's going on. And the testimony that you had this morning was fascinating to me because one of the things that we really want is electric cabs. That is so cool. And as far as the charging, if a cab goes down and there's a problem, Commissioner Fish, they'll do what every other cab driver does. They'll get on the phone and say, help, and somebody will come and help them. And they'll either recharge the cab or they'll send another cab. So we only have the same concern that Commissioner Fritz has mentioned, and that's the salaries. I talk to cab drivers a lot, and they're not rich. You know, you're right. They are not rich. They are not making lots of money. So I think this council has a golden opportunity in your approval when you approve this, and I'm assuming you will, to make a statement to the company, you know, our city is moving towards a basic minimum wage of $15 an hour. Would you try to get as close as possible to that with your drivers? So at the end of the day or the end of the month that the drivers are making a livable wage. They work very hard. It's a tough, tough job that they do. I'll just give you one short story and then I'll shut up. My wife went shopping the other day, and when she buys too many groceries, she calls a cab. I won't tell you which cab company she uses because I don't think that's fair. The last time she called for a cab, she waited a half hour, and then she went back in to the supermarket and said, would you call again, please? And they did, and she waited another half hour. So it was an hour's wait. On a regular work day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is not, you know, high traffic area time. That's not the first time that's happened to her. I know that doesn't give you any statistical data, it's just anecdotal. And I'm just saying to you that this cab company coming in is not going to affect the market that much, because if you have to wait an hour for a cab, we need some more cab drivers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Anyone else?
We had one more.
Yes, one over here.
On this subject,
Teresa
Barry, this
Lee.
Subject. Not on this subject. So,
Teresa okay. From ERCO.
She here? Okay. So then, we're going to close the public hearing, and a motion would
I
be
move
in
the
order.
Application.
Second.
Any further discussion? And roll call on that motion.
Well, thanks to the applicants for this new model coming into Portland. Of course, it's very easy to support an all-electric cab company, in particular your attention to providing the required Americans with Disability Act accessible vans. And so it's a great model. I appreciate that you're moving to the employee-based model rather than the contractor, playing the base hourly wage commission, of course, having paid sick time because you're in Portland, which is great, and also paid vacation. So those are a good steps forward. As I mentioned, it's astonishing to me that in 2012, cab drivers were making less than $7 an hour, and I doubt that in 3 years it's all that much better. So if we're looking, there's been some discussion that potentially having a free-for-all for a month where cab drivers might not get any business, if you're making $400 a week, you can't afford to have a month without pay. And so that's I'm looking forward to the hearing on April 9th because I value our taxi cab system. As a woman, I am not going to be getting into some stranger's car. I've been taught since I was knee-high that you do not get into strangers' cars, even if you summon them on your iPhone. And I've certainly taught my daughter that. I took my daughter to summon a cab on her iPhone. And so I am concerned that, and I don't think that Lyft and Uber and others should assume that we are going to allow them to operate in our city until all of the challenges have been met, including what Amy Anderson brought up in terms of health-related and medical transportation. The beauty of our system, and thanks to Frank Dufresne for a long time of working on these issues, are that it's regulated and that there are taxis available at 3 o'clock in the morning to get to the all-night pharmacy if you need to. And we're fair about who gets to go to the airport for the more lucrative rides. And we're fair about the limousines. And we stopped the kickbacks at the hotels for the limousines and such. It's a service that has great potential for vulnerable people to be abused. And this new company with a good track record in Longview, obviously because of the Eco Northwest study and Mr. Walsh's testimony just now, we don't have enough cabs in Portland, and people are not using public transportation in some cases you can't use public transportation to get from A to B at any hour of the day, never mind in the evening or at night or on weekends. So it's an important public service. I very much appreciate and welcome you to Portland. Aye.
Fish.
First of all, this is not a typical council proceeding, and so I want to call out a very effective and thoughtful package that you gave us that tells your story and lays out the case. Appreciate that, your testimony, commitments that you've made. A city that prides itself on sustainability obviously welcomes the idea of a truly green cab company, all electric. I was a little concerned when I heard someone earlier say that we have a 15 or 16% rate no-show. And I'm doubly concerned because as a person who no longer has a car, I actually use cabs more. If I have a late night event and I am too lazy to take the bus, I'll take a cab or the airport or something. So 15%, if it's a cab you're waiting for to get you to an early morning flight or to an important meeting is of some concern. So I'm going to follow up to learn more about why we have that rate, that fail rate. But you've made a compelling case. This is a de novo hearing. We've heard no objections, and I appreciate the thorough way that Commissioner Novick and his bureau make these presentations and get the information to council. Aye.
Saltzman.
Very enthusiastic aye. We really appreciate your commitment to sustainability, your commitment to your workforce, and I wish you all the success. Aye.
Novick.
I, too, really appreciate the employee model and appreciate the commitment to sustainability. I was going to mention a potential side benefit from approving this application, and it occurs to me that perhaps I should have declared an additional conflict of interest possibility at the beginning of this session, because I note that on November 26, 2014, I received an email from Phil Barnhart, state representative from Eugene, who is also the all-powerful chair of the Revenue Committee, and he was emailing me about taxicab service in Portland in general and also about electric cabs, and one of the things he said is, personally, I would love to ride in a Tesla taxi in Portland. I also think it would give a great impression to visitors. So I have to say that I am hopeful that approving this application will result in Representative Barnhart throwing his entire weight behind all of our legislative agenda. And I think that that could be a great thing for the city. But I apologize for not having mentioned that hope as a possible conflict of interest at the beginning. Aye.
Hales.
I think that's a confluence of interest, not a conflict. Great application, great company. We look forward to having you serving this community and our visitors. And I think the process worked very well, so thanks to our staff and our volunteers on the board. And I think this is a case where we have thoughtfully taken up the question of how do we manage change. There's obviously more of that to come, but I think this was a real success, and I want to commend everybody involved. Aye. And the Bureau will prepare a final order that validates the council's decision today.
You just want to close the public hearing.
And so I'll close the public hearing. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's move on to the last couple of items we have in the regular agenda and the pulled consent item. So let's go ahead and do item 281.
281, reappoint Claire Carter, Phil Damiano, David Humber, Mary Helen Kincaid and Dana Croswick, and appoint Jennifer Marsicek to the Development Review Advisory Committee for 3-year terms.
Okay. This is not a previous item, right? I thought we had this up last week, but I guess
right. We
didn't. Okay. Anyone want to speak on this item?
This was pulled by Sarah Long. Is she here?
No. Mayor, I move the report.
Okay. Is there a second? Further discussion? Roll call.
Fritz.
I greatly appreciate the willingness of these diverse volunteers to participate in our Development Review Advisory Committee and the Bureau of Development Services. Aye.
Dish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, now regular item 286.
Establish the authority of the Director of Bureau of Internal Business Services regarding Portland, Oregon trademark sign and correctly reflect the organizational structure of the Office of Management and Finance.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. Let's scoot this up.
Cheers.
For the record, I'm Brian Inge. I am the Director of the Bureau of Internal Business Services. And we're here to present for your consideration this morning code changes related to the City of Portland's Oregon sign trademark and some housekeeping changes. The city obtained the rights to the white stag sign in 2010. The city had the sign changed from Made in Oregon to Read Portland, Oregon. The goal of the city was to have the sign as a symbol for all citizens of the City of Portland. The iconic sign is becoming a widely recognized mark. It has been seen on a Super Bowl commercial, local advertising, and for merchandising cups and t-shirts. The city manages the use of the mark to protect from irresponsible use and to promote city tourism and trades. The city manages the mark through license agreements. A license agreement is entered into for the use of the mark. The licensee rents the right to use this mark in association with filming, products, and events. Licensing involves a contractual agreement between the city and the licensee. The contract ensures that the use of the mark is restricted by specific conditions. An acceptable use policy will be designed to help protect from irresponsible use of the trademark. Some of the prohibitions that will be included in the accessible use policy includes the mark will not be used in any way that is unlawful. The mark will not be used in any connection with any criminal, civil, or administrative violation of any applicable local, state, and federal rule. And the mark will not be used to promote, advocate any content or material that harasses or threatens the health or safeties of others. And finally, the mark will not be used to promote or advocate in any way content or material that may be construed as inappropriate or not consistent with the values of the city. In addition to protection of the city asset, the policy and the associated fee schedule will be designed to support tourism and local trade. Local government agencies will not be charged a fee to use the sign. Nonprofit agencies are not charged an administrative fee. Businesses will pay an administrative fee to help offset the cost to manage the program. License fees will be dependent upon the use of the mark and the gross revenue of the business. The fee schedule will favor small and local businesses. Revenue generated from the mark will be used to pay the cost to legally defend the mark and to pay the cost to maintain and operate the sign, which is approximately about $28,000 a year. The proposed code changes will provide the BIPS director the ability to effectively and efficiently manage the mark to prevent its misuse, support small and local businesses, generate revenue where possible, and provide transparency. We'll open and see if there's any questions about the program.
Okay, Brian.
So are you going to establish a fee schedule?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Okay.
And then there's, in the ordinance, there's the requirement for an annual report to council about the use of the sign, including the specific licenses, gross revenue, and net revenue. And that doesn't need to be in the code. How will we make sure that that happens moving forward?
When council adopts it, it will be binding city policy. It will not be in code, but it's binding city policy, so it will be in part in the important policy docs.
Okay, so that will just automatically happen. I won't have to ask for it next year.
And to that point, Commissioner Fritz, one of the things we wanted to be able to do, and this is back to the transparency, is we're going to include the tracking of the both the revenues and the costs in the city's financial system. So it will be tracked in SAP. So we're going to be able to invoice vendors and others who use the sign directly out of SAP. And in those cases where we need to defend against inappropriate use of the sign, those costs will also be tracked in SAP. So not only will we be able to, on an annual basis, show you what we've done, but at any time that you would want or anyone else would want to go into SAP, they will be able to get that report.
Presuming one knows how to use SAP and has policy to use, permission to use SAP. So I'm really concerned about the community having a summary each year with pictures of what's been on the sign and such. Obviously, it's not going to be changing the sign. It's going to be pretending to use the sign in its advertising.
Yes.
We're not talking about actually allowing people to put different images on the Portland, Oregon sign.
No. It's using that image in advertising. So maybe the annual report to council could include those images of how it's been used.
Will do, Commissioner and Mayor.
The Chief Procurement Officer will be signing off on every specific use, right? They will have to propose, show you an image of what they want to put up there, and you will get to say yes or no.
Commissioner Fritz, at this time, this program is in the Bureau of Internal Business Services, and so the CPO is not involved in this program.
Yeah. I'm just curious, what's an example of the difference between something, a use that is governed by this policy where we're protecting our intellectual property rights, and a use that is in the allowed in the public domain? So, for example, if TNT is filming a basketball game here, and they begin the show by sweeping the skyline and focusing on the sign, mm-hmm. I assume that's sort of in the public domain, and that's their right, as opposed to if they choose to put the logo on some product they sell.
Exactly. One's an incidental use, Commissioner Fish. One's an incidental use.
Okay,
and the other one is a specific use as when you put it on a mug or a T-shirt. So one is just you're canvassing the city for purposes of showing something, an event that is not